Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
The U.S. government currently owns more than one quarter of all the land in the United States. That's around 620 million acres of land. The government owns a portion of every single state, although the majority, over 90%, is concentrated in 12 western states. Here are some examples. The U.S. government owns 80% of Nevada, 61% of Alaska. That equals 222.7 million acres, with Alaska being the largest land mass owned by the United States government, again, the federal government. Idaho is owned by the federal government, 61.9% of Idaho, and Utah, 63.1%. Then those are just a few examples. Here in Pennsylvania, the feds own 2.2% of the Commonwealth, but they want more. Executive Order 14008 on, quote, tackling the climate crisis at home and abroad, unquote, was signed by President Biden on the 27th of January, 2021, one of his first actions as president. That directs the Secretary of the Interior in Section 216 to achieve the goal of conserving at least 30% of our lands and waters by 2030. Now, what does that mean? My guest today is Dr. Cal Beissner. He's president of the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation, and he'll help us understand some of this federal land grab. Thanks, Dr. Beissner, for being with us.
Diane, thanks very much for having me back on the show. I always enjoy talking with you.
It's just crazy. Let's start with first, what is the mission of the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation?
Well, the quick way to say it is that we're trying to save the planet from the people who are trying to save the planet.
That's excellent.
A little more seriously, our mission is to educate the public and policymakers on biblical earth stewardship, which is quite distinct from environmentalism because it's rooted in a solidly biblical worldview and uses solid theology, science, economics, and ethics to look into how we can best fulfill the mandate God gave us as mankind in Genesis 1:28 to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over everything in it. That dominion should look like God's dominion. And his started off with making everything out of nothing, bringing light out of darkness, order out of chaos, life out of non-life, and great variety of life, and telling each variety to be fruitful and abundant and to fill its own niche in the world. So our dominion in the world should be one where men and women work together to enhance the fruitfulness, the beauty, and the safety of the earth to the glory of God and the benefit of our neighbors. And then second, we want to educate people about what are the conditions by which whole societies, not just isolated individuals or families, but whole societies rise and stay out of poverty for great human flourishing. And those conditions include things like a free market economy, private property rights, entrepreneurship, free trade, limited government, and the rule of law, and especially access to reliable, abundant, affordable energy, without which you can't make anything.
Absolutely, yeah.
Energy is definitely indispensable to rising and staying out of poverty. And then the third is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news that sinners like me can be reconciled to the holy God by faith in Jesus Christ, who on the cross bore our sins and who in his resurrection triumphed over sin and death and judgment so that we can be joined together with him through the gift of faith from our loving God and Father.
Amen. Amen. This is one issue that I think a lot of Christians, you know, talking about climate change and all the climate hysteria, I think this is one issue that Christians don't realize the Bible addresses. But in reality, the Bible addresses every single issue that we are faced with today and that we were faced, have, you know, that our past generations have been faced with. The Bible deals with it. And too many Christians don't understand that. That's why the Cornwall Alliance is so important, because as you're saying, you're educating not just Christians, but Christians, the church needs to be educated, but you know, the general public needs to be educated that God is the one who created everything we have, and he's the one who's still in control. And no matter
Absolutely.
No matter what we do to quote unquote try to save the planet. In reality, we're destroying the planet. Those who are trying to save the planet are destroying the planet, because everything you said about, you know, bringing people out of poverty, the access to reliable energy, et cetera, these folks are totally against that kind of stuff.
That is so correct. And even this very 30 by 30 federal land grab is an example of precisely that, Diane. You know, it's presented as something that is going to conserve nature. But there's a fairly simple and kind of humorous way of understanding what's wrong with that kind of thinking, putting into government's hand the preservation of nature. You know, I go around, I travel a pretty good bit. I have to use public bathrooms fairly frequently, and I often find their graffiti. Mm. But I never find it on my bathroom walls at home or on the bathroom walls of other people in their private homes. Mm. How come? Well, it's because, you know, owners have an incentive to take good care of what they own. Mm-hmm. And what's owned supposedly sort of by everybody, which is public lands, well, nobody has an incentive to take care of it. And that, for example, is why the devastating wildfires in the American West over the last few years have happened almost exclusively on federally owned lands, not on private lands. Private landowners have a strong incentive to manage their forest lands in a way that make them less vulnerable to wildfires. Okay. The federal government has failed in that miserably. And if we take its own track record as a lesson to be learned, we realize the last thing you want to do if you want to preserve the beauty and conserve the health of ecosystems around this country is to put them into the hands of the federal government.
Absolutely. And unfortunately, when those fires on federal property occur, we see private property being devastated too, homes destroyed and such as that. So it's not just not just kept in the federal forest and stuff.
It spreads out.
Fire tends to do that for sure. Now, wasn't there another major land grab when it came to the Endangered Species Act? And did that not result also in a major land grab?
That has happened repeatedly under the ESA, the Endangered mm-hmm. Species Act. We talk about that in several different articles on mm-hmm. Cornwall Alliance's website. So if people want to find those, they just go to cornwallalliance.org, and then in the search bar, they can just enter endangered species. They'll find things like that. But yeah, under the Endangered Species Act, though, this has happened in a more of a sort of piecemeal manner, bits and pieces mm-hmm. here and there, without overall target.
Right.
Yeah. Now there's this mm-hmm. overall target of putting federal control on at least 30% of America's total land. And by the way, that isn't going to be the max. That's going to be the least, because what they also want is to control 30% of every ecosystem region. Well,
what's that?
Regions are all over the place. And so if you want to control 30% of every one of those on top of the basic goal of 30% of all the land, well, you could run to 50, 60, 70% of all the land in America could wind up conserved this way,
so
really
they don't,
put under threat.
They don't define eco region. They don't define that specifically?
No.
In any of this?
No.
Because, I know that the Secretary of Interior recently issued a report as a result of Biden's executive order back in 2021, but she didn't include any kind of definition. So
that's right. That's right.
When it comes to trying to find out exactly what they mean. So it could mean they want to own not just 30% of the entire country, which would just be an additional 3% on top of what they already claim to own, but may own 30 as a result of this, because we don't know, it may result in them owning 30% of each state, possibly up to that or minimum of, is that a possibility?
Well, the problem is that the report about this and President Biden's executive order 14008 tackling the climate crisis at home and abroad just simply are not clear. It's pretty ambiguous. Does it mean we're only asking for 30%, which I think is outrageous anyway, but does it instead mean, well, we want to control 30% of the land plus 30% of all definable ecosystems. And the problem is we're not going to tell you in advance how we define ecosystems. So, you know, in Tennessee, for example, where I live, now the federal government owns 4.8% of the land in Tennessee, but its ecoregions include parts or all of the Great Smoky Mountains, the Bald Mountains, the Unicoi Mountains, the Unaka Mountains, the Iron Mountains. It includes the Tennessee Valley, the Cumberland Plateau and Cumberland Mountains, the Sequatchie Valley. I could go on and on, naming more and more different places. All of these are ecoregions defined broadly. And any ecologist worth his salt could divvy up Tennessee into scores and scores of ecoregions. And the federal government would want to control 30% of every one of those ecoregions. And that might be on top of it's stretching out the arm and saying, we're going to control 30% of the state regardless.
So let's say
this is insane.
So if you live, say, near the Great Smoky Mountains, they declare that an ecosystem
region,
and can they just take your property? They're just saying, well, we want to expand our effort to the name of the report is Conserving and Restoring America the Beautiful is the name of the report. So they're going to say, we want your property to help conserve and restore America the Beautiful. Would you have to say, okay, come take my house and my land? To me, that's not eminent domain.
That's going to be a really interesting legal question because we do have protection of property in our Constitution. But the problem is that the courts have long recognized things like eminent domain and to the pursuit of a legitimate government intent. And so these things would wind up having to be tried and, tested in court. But even if they don't own your property, they can restrict your use of your property in very, very profound ways, as, for instance, has happened under the Endangered Species Act, where there's a range chicken that is common around many of the western states of the Midwest.
Like a prairie chicken or
something. And, prairie chicken. Mm-hmm. And when they defined that as an endangered species, which, by the way, was an insane definition, it is not by any means endangered, that immediately put a whole lot of land off limits for cultivation. That meant if you owned the land and you had been farming it for decades, generations, all of a sudden, now you can't continue farming that land because it is chicken.
But
that's the kind of thing that we face.
I mean, I own chickens, and I keep them out of the garden. So I would think with a fence, I put a fence around the garden to keep the chickens out. But I would think these prairie chickens would be very happy that there's a field there, something that they can go to and have a free meal. And they don't have to go looking for food. I mean, I think the prairie chicken would be happy.
Yeah, you might think so. Yeah.
But not the federal government. The federal government doesn't own chickens, I guess. Oh, my goodness. Go ahead.
Part of the arrogance of this whole thing is that the Biden administration is acting as if this is official policy, whereas, in fact, this report from the Department of Interior and so on is only recommendations. Mm-hmm. That is a preliminary report to the National Climate Task Force recommending a 10-year locally led campaign to conserve, et cetera. There has been no congressional action to approve of any of this.
Okay.
This is the sort of thing that really needs to go through Congress. But unfortunately, over the last 50 years or so, we have seen immense control get out of the hands of Congress into the hands of the executive branch with the bureaucracy just running wild. It's time for Americans to say, stop.
Mm-hmm.
We need to bring all the control back into the Congress. They're the closest representatives of the people, and government is supposed to be by the consent of the governed.
Right, and they're elected. I mean, the people elect the people who are in Congress, but these bureaucrats are run by and filled with those who are not elected and thus not answerable to the people. I agree, if a president signs an executive order, everyone thinks that's a rule of law, and that's not the case. It just words on a piece of paper with a president's signature at the bottom. Of Congress is supposed to be the one who puts all those. Unfortunately, too many times they create another bureaucracy to deal with, what the president wants. And that just creates more of a problem. So there have been no hearings. So hopefully with the Republicans in control of the House now, there will be no hearings, hopefully. But
one would hope so.
Yeah,
right,
we would hope so. What basically 30-30, that's only 7 years from now. You know, think about it, 2030 is only 7 years from now.
That's what they aim for.
Yeah. So what it is it targets massive amounts of privately owned land for government control, as well as eliminating natural resource production, oil, gas, hard rock, minerals, timber, and livestock grazing on national forest and public lands owned by the Bureau of Land Management.
Yeah.
That's scary. Just as you know, they may not, as you're saying, they may not physically take someone's land, but they can dictate how that person, how that owner of that property, what they do on the land. I mean, you know, too many times, you know, someone, I've read stories about people who cannot build a garage or an addition to their house because they found a frog. What was it? The famous frog. That famous frog, the only endangered species list that was causing people headaches because they couldn't build on their property because of that frog. And here in Pennsylvania, I think it's the American chipmunk. There's some chipmunk that's on the endangered species list that it's illegal to kill. We have so many chipmunks. That's one of my major attackers when it comes to my garden. There's chipmunks and they're eating my vegetables and stuff. But
What you're pointing to there, Diane, is I think a fundamental worldview error underlying this whole way of thinking. Mm-hmm. You point out that, hey, those chipmunks, they can be cute and pretty to look at and so on, but in the wrong place, they can devour your food,
exactly.
Right?
Yep.
Well, what leads to the mistake of thinking, okay, we need to just preserve chipmunks wherever they are, or preserve nature as it is, is this notion that nature is best untouched by human hands, that it's fragile and prone to, you know, destruction from small forces put upon it. And that's just not the case.
Exactly.
You know, here's a line out of that Conserving and Restoring America the Beautiful report that came from the Department of the Interior that I think just reveals the confusion. Right in the introduction, they say at one point, Native peoples built some of the most enduring and advanced civilizations on Earth.
Okay.
Huh?
Exactly.
Huh?
Exactly.
Where are those civilizations if they were advanced and enduring? Mm-hmm. The Native peoples had extremely short average life expectancy because they didn't have effective agriculture to grow crops to feed them well, because they didn't have good medicine. They didn't have good energy use. Not only that, but those Native peoples, frankly, lived in ways that treated nature horrifically. Mm-hmm. One of the most common methods of hunting buffalo was to start big range fires upwind of a herd of buffalo with cliffs downwind, and the fires would chase the buffalo over the cliffs, and the Indians would then harvest just the tongues and sometimes the pelts, the hides, and the heart, and leave the rest to rot. Mm-hmm. And this resulted in millions of buffalo deaths. This was not good earth stewardship.
No. Just another example of revised history as they tried to portray the American Indian as living in this utopia where they all got along and they were, you know, one of their main goals was to preserve nature, et cetera, et cetera. But what you just said about the buffalo, how many of them hunted buffalo, you know, it was safer that way for them, you know, just run the buffalo over the cliff. You wouldn't have to worry about, you know, warriors being killed in a stampede or something, but a waste of good buffalo meat. And then, of course, the history books of today lament the buffalo hunters as they were trying to keep the buffalo off the train tracks and such. But, it's just another example. So what can we do? I mean, currently there's no action in Congress at this point. So what can average citizens do to put a stop to this massive land grab? Is there anything we can do?
Yeah. You know, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that there's no action going on in Congress right now to put this into law doesn't mean that there never will be. So it would be fantastic preventative medicine for congressmen all over this country to get letters from their constituents saying, hey, this 30 by 30 Conserving and Restoring America the Beautiful is nonsense. I don't want it. It's a land grab by the federal government, and it's a threat to freedom. It's a threat to the federalism that is an important part of our Constitution, and we just don't want it. So if you hear any of it coming towards your desk, Mr. Congressman, reject it.
Reject it. Just toss it in the trash can, for sure. Because it is, you know, it's an effort by the federal government to force us to become more reliant upon them, because when you're talking about restricting energy production such as that in this 30 by 30 land grab, it's just an effort by the federal government to expand itself, expand its power over the American people. So how can folks contact the Cornwall Alliance? Yep.
Well, they can come to cornwallalliance.org. And hey, one of the most fun ways to learn from us is to listen to our podcast. We have a podcast called Created Terrain that's available on Spotify, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and pretty much any podcast platform. So Created Terrain by the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation. We also have a Facebook page and a YouTube channel, Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation. And we would love to bring a conference that we do, a conference that in which we can present this to churches and schools and whatnot, called Challenging Net Zero, Conquering Poverty While Stewarding the Earth in the Age of Climate Change.
Wow.
This is a conference that will really give people the basics of biblical environmental stewardship and economic development for the poor, and explain why the fears of dangerous man-made climate change are not justified, and the attempt to fight them by switching from fossil fuels to wind and solar and so on would only trap billions of people in poverty and push billions more back down into it.
Wow. And all that information is how to bring the conference to your localities. That's all on the website?
Cornwall
Alliance.
It is.
Okay, fantastic. CornwallAlliance.com?
Org.
.org. Okay,
.org.
CornwallAlliance.org. Okay, fantastic. Thanks so much for being with us and explaining this 30-30 lunacy to us and the need to stop this, you know, federal land grab. I really appreciate your time and your expertise in this area.
Well, thank you very much, Diane. God bless.
God bless you too. Take care. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323. Or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.